Hey, Los Angeles. Are you looking for unique 4th of July plans for you and your friends or family? LA's greatest rivalry returns to Rose Bowl Stadium for a July 4th edition of the El Tráfico soccer matchup as the LA Galaxy return to their original home to defend their turf against LAFC. Last year, a record crowd of over 82,000 fans were on hand to witness the Galaxy victory. That's July 4th at Rose Bowl Stadium. Guaranteed fireworks both on and off the field and a celebration for all of LA. LA Galaxy versus LAFC, the Rose Bowl edition. Tickets at lagalaxy.com/tickets.
Welcome back to Now. No opportunity wasted. I'm your host, Angelica Ross. Today is Monday, June 3rd, and there is a lot that I want to touch on. So let me just go ahead and get things started with a quote from Buddhism Day by Day, Wisdom for a Modern Life by Daisaku Ikeda. Quote, when we plant the seed of happiness that is faith and carefully tend to its growth, it will produce fruit without fail. We have to bear in mind, however, that we cannot plant a seed today and expect it to bear fruit tomorrow. That's not reasonable, and Buddhism is reason. If we persevere, bearing in mind the principle faith equals daily life in accord with reason, then our prayers will definitely be answered. This is Nichiren's promise to us, and his words are true beyond any doubt. End quote. And I love that because there are so many seeds that I have planted, some of which I'm starting to finally see bear fruit, thankfully. And of course, at the end of each episode here on Now, we drop seeds directly from the Bodhi tree in hopes that the benefits of Buddhism will blossom in your life. So stay tuned later for our Buddhist breadcrumb. But first, woo! We have some breaking news this week. Former President Donald J. Trump was found guilty on all 34 counts. And now the question I've seen most floating around is, so what does this mean? Does this mean he's going to jail? Does this mean that he's no longer qualified to run for office? Well, according to the Biden-Harris administration, in a statement they made saying, in New York today, we saw that no one is above the law. Donald Trump has always mistakenly believed he would never face consequences for breaking the law for his own personal gain. But today's verdict does not change the fact that the American people face a simple reality. You see, I'm using my politician finger now. There is still only one way to keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office, at the ballot box. Convicted felon or not, Trump will be the Republican nominee for president. Now, to me, that's saying a lot of things. I have always been in the mind that I feel like Biden and Harris need Trump as an opponent. Biden is president right now. Why can't he not make moves right now to make sure that a convicted felon cannot be a legitimate candidate for president? According to New York state law, felons in New York cannot hold many public offices, including elected positions. The catch? Trump is no longer a New York resident. And while he cannot hold office in Florida or New York, according to CNN, there's nothing in the Constitution that will bar him from running for president. And as you've heard, Joe Biden's team doesn't seem interested in barring him from running either. Doesn't seem like Joe Biden actually is interested in accountability at all. First, Biden had a red line with Israel and the genocide. Then there's no red line. The ICC or ICJ has issued arrest warrants for Netanyahu and warned that the U.S. is next up to be charged with war crimes. And of course, the United States is doing everything it can to undermine the authority of the ICC. They have publicly been in opposition to their rulings, but of course they are, because that would mean Joe Biden would be an accomplice who's funding multiple genocides. Now, I'm making an effort to not only talk about the genocide in Gaza, but also in Sudan and the Congo. and you cannot convince me that any of this evil is necessary. It's like some Americans are okay with and understand the violence that happens in order for them to have a hamburger at their plate. They don't want to see the slaughter happen, right? But they know it's a part of the process. Well, I want you to look at your phone, computer, your tablets, electric cars, all of it requires the death of millions of men, women, and children in the Congo and Sudan. I've heard so many horrific stories of 16-year-old mothers being raped. They say around every 48 hours, women are sexually assaulted, and that 6 million lives have been lost over the last decade. The Congo recently lost their lawsuit against Apple, Tesla, Google, Microsoft, and Dell, claiming human rights violations of child labor, violations against women's rights, environmental degradation, displacement and land dispossession, genocide and war. Just back in April, international lawyers contacted Tim Cook and questioned Apple about the tech company's knowledge of blood minerals from a conflict zone in Africa that could be smuggled into supply chains and demanded answers. And as of just a couple days ago, international lawyers have said that Tim Cook and Apple basically left them on red and is ignoring the accusations over conflict materials. Capitalism wins again. Cobalt is a major component of lithium ion batteries that is found in basically every rechargeable electronic gadget out there. 2/3 of the world's cobalt comes from Congo, and the tech companies are playing stupid. They're avoiding accountability while still very much tapping into an extremely violent global supply chain. I believe that there are a plethora of opportunities for us to become more responsible consumers who actually hold companies accountable for how their business practices affect our planet and humanity. We're not just being sold blood minerals. We're being sold comfort and distractions. The backdrop for so much of this year's biggest moments, like the Met Gala or the Super Bowl, we're distracting the world from Israel's continued genocide on Gaza. Just days ago, children were being burned alive in tents in Rafah, an area that Palestinians were told would be a safe zone. Former presidential candidate Nikki Haley signed one of those bombs saying, "Finish them." What in the world is going on, people? This is not okay. Meanwhile, we're finally hearing talks of Israel offering a ceasefire, and then we look at the details and realize, well, damn, this is what Hamas offered before that Israel declined. Not to mention, they have yet to actually ceasefire. Rafah's last functioning hospital, the Al-Hilal El Emirati Hospital, I know I said that wrong, but they've gone out of service. The World Health Organization has reported that it's gone. So now what? It's clear that our government continues to be controlled by foreign powers. AIPAC has bought Congress enough to offer a war criminal like Netanyahu an invitation to speak to Congress while facing charges for war crimes. Thankfully, we still have some Congress folks like Ayanna Pressley who just posted on X, "The families of hostages demand a ceasefire now. Netanyahu must accept this proposal and bring them home." But we know Bibi don't give a damn about them hostages. Netanyahu's top security advisor told the hostages' families he doesn't think that Israel will actually complete a hostage deal. Let me repeat that for y'all. Not that he doesn't think Hamas will accept a deal, but that Netanyahu and Israel will not stop the genocide in exchange for the hostages. Israel's top security advisor is saying this. So I'm gonna need folks to understand it was never about the hostages. It was never about October 7th. And those that cannot acknowledge the events of ethnic cleansing that took place over the 75 years are just being willfully ignorant when there's so much information that's been out there for all of us to open our eyes to. Don't just keep scrolling. Don't look away. We must not only bear witness, but we must allow ourselves to feel this extremely devastating time and let it fuel us this summer to continue to protest. Speaking of protest, it's June, which means it's Pride Month, and I'm here to give you a reminder that Pride is and always has been a protest. And to be quite frank, I'm actually only celebrating this year with folks who understand that it's necessary to protest as much as it is to party and experience unbridled joy for being who we are. But get you some friends who can do both. Realize that these corporations are not allies. They are only here to profit off our community. Because when times get tough, the only target in sight is the one on our backs. Budweiser or Bud Light apologize for even collaborating with Dylan Mulvaney, and yet they're still trying to market to us during Pride season. Girl. And according to many LGBTQ plus advocates, educators, performers, the bookings for Pride Month are at an all-time low and pretty much non-existent for some of us. Now, I can't say that I haven't had any offers, but folks love to get you when they think they can get you on sale. Some of the offers I saw were barely covering my travel expenses, so I had to say no to those. Because one thing I can no longer do as a Black trans woman is come out of my pocket and be upside down for an opportunity where I'm supposed to be making money. Make that make sense. So, my question to companies like Budweiser and Target, who have shown their true colors this Pride season, is what even is an ally if you can't stand beside us when things get tough? Now, my conversation this week brought me to the brink of tears, y'all, a couple times with Supernova Slam. He's the son of world-renowned healer Queen Afua, a byproduct of the hip-hop renaissance, and a survivor of the streets. Supernova Slam is a dynamic hip-hop alternative music recording artist, a published author, a vegan bodybuilder, and wellness and community advocate who has been dedicated to the well-being of young people, y'all. Take a listen. Welcome to Now, Supernova Slam. How are you doing? My first question for you is, how are you doing right now in this
right
moment?
Right now.
Yes.
I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you for having me, Ms. Ross. Thank you.
That's amazing. Yes. I love that answer. I grew up with that answer, blessed and highly favored. And it sounds like you also grew up with a very iconic, I guess, mother. I mean, we're talking to one of the sons of the Queen Afua.
Yes.
And she has just, you know, just been an icon in the conversation of health and longevity. And it's like, did she just pass up? But how did you pick it up? Was it something that you like pushed away at first? Like you didn't want to eat your vegetables? Like how did you come into embracing being so such a champion of wellness?
Everything you said. As far as, yes, I'm first born out of Queen Afua's womb, and I was raised in the health and wellness modality, you know, from the 80s on. And unfortunately, my father and my mother, when they divorced, my father succumbed to crack cocaine. So I was raised with those two extremes. One parent is in the brownstone, continuing the wellness work. One parent is in the projects, battling, you know, his own addictions and afflictions. So, naturally, you know, of course, I was raised with all of these holistic wellness, principles and tenets, and being plant-based vegan from the womb. But you know, when you come into your adolescence, of course, you have your rebellious phase, and I got sick just trying to be like everybody else, even though my body was not.
So, did you have some Popeyes?
No, I didn't. Family members always try to feed me meat when I was younger, and I would always get sick. So I mean,
oh wow,
yeah, you know, but they didn't really agree with my mother's holistic wellness lifestyle in the 80s.
They was like, you need to feed that baby some meat,
right? But they felt that she was having me, my brother and sister, be not malnutritious. But we never had any health disparities, so she was definitely onto something—a pioneer in the wellness arts and in the plant-based living very early on. Like I said, I had my moment of where I had to apply the principles for myself because I started to rebel and try to just mainly junk food, not necessarily the meats and the dairy, mm-hmm, but mainly mm-hmm. the junk food and what I call the sugar crack.
Yeah, I was on the sugar crack for a long time. Now I'm kind of off. The reason why I say I'm kind of off is because. Listen, don't judge me too hard. And I know, I am also open to, I'm always open to making better choices.
Right.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
And, with this podcast being called No Opportunity Wasted, it really is like an umbrella thought of like never wasting a single opportunity to make a better choice, you know, to do better, you know. So I don't eat, I gave up red meat. A long time ago. I'm a chicken and fish kind of girl, but you know, I've definitely gotten to a place where it's every day that I'm trying to choose something to eat. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling with myself because the old me has maybe an inclination to certain tastes, but the new me is not really that enthusiastic about it, right, you know? Right. And it's like, I guess the crossover into finding the foods that still call me, you know, mm-hmm. and tantalize me, like, you know, like sweet potato, like yams and, you know, various things that we, you know, can still eat.
Right.
But, you know, I still do like Splenda, I know that's probably bad, right?
Listen, you know, first of all, you have to hold some grace for yourself. You know, you're in a crossroads. You're acknowledging where you've been, where you like to go. So now you have to create a daily regimen that will get you to your goal.
Yeah.
Nobody's perfect. You know, you have to really figure out, you have to research exactly, you know, what is it that aligns with you with the quality.
So speaking of that research, like how do you recommend someone sort of get started, because you've sort of written a book on detoxing and kind of realigning with yourself. How do you start? Like if I said, you know what, today I'm tired and I have no energy and like, you know, just eating bad at the last minute. Where do I start at making new choice?
That's what I was about to go into. It starts with the mind. Okay, we talk about mind, body, and spirit wellness. Everything, your whole being has to work in tandem and to support the whole you. You can't put anything in your body that your mind is not willing to do, put in. You know, your mind is the central intelligence of yourself. So it starts with the mind. Once you program yourself, you know, into setting your goals, and your goals represent a better quality of life, then you have to regiment this pathway to slowly walking to a better quality of life. You may trip, you may fall, but it starts mentally. So you have to figure out where you want to be. Like I was going into using you as an example. You were saying that, you know, you acknowledged in the beginning of this call that you were in a certain space so that you did the mental point. I was there and I recognized my addictions, what I'm drawn to. If you can connect any emotional stuff to that, just take an inventory and audit of yourself. Once you take an honest audit of where you were and that, you know, when you're sad, when you're happy, what are the things you eat? And you check the quality of the things you eat. Are these things are going to help to make you entice your longevity? You just, okay, no, not really. Okay. But you just made an audit. You connected your emotional state, your mental state to the food, right? So when you start to address, realize that, okay, I can kind of tap into my emotional intelligence and my mind and figure out, you know, where do I want to be? So then you did. You showed us, well, you know, I did the audit. This is where I have been. This is where I'm at today. This is where I would like to figure out, right? So now you already moved forward. That's you started. You moved from one space to the next. Now the third part, which is when you see yourself, right? you would have to set up a regimen, a daily regimen, an accountability system that will inch you toward your ultimate goal, right? And so the first thing you would do, at that point, now you already hit those three modalities, know where you're from, know where you're at, know where you want to go. Now you start to think about, okay, what was I eating? What could I get as an alternative healthy, to the things I like, to encourage me to move towards my goal? Mm-hmm. And you set up a small step matrix to that. I tell people, the first step would be, as far as nourishing, would be water. We live on a water planet. Our body is 70% water. So that's the first mineral you would want to master as a human being.
Do you know how many people reject drinking water?
Well, then you should reject the planet, because you're a water being. Like I just said, the science, regardless of whatever people believe, the science mm-hmm. of the body is 70% water mm-hmm. on a water planet. So if you hydrate more often, especially during the day, in the 24-hour clock in the day, the more water you have, at least a gallon from the a.m. to the p.m., you will automatically feel much more better. Physically, your joints will be moving, all your internal organs will be fully lubricated. The cloudiness that you have would pretty much subside, the anxiety, just the water, drinking the water, right? Mm-hmm. And also drinking the water helps to detox the body, flushes the body, the system, and it also checks the addictions. So the more, sometimes we think we're hungry, our body's just signaling, hey, drink some water. And mm-hmm. we be thinking we're trying to go to the signal of hunger, and your body just needs to get nourished. And so what I would tell the listeners is, next time you feel like a trigger, like you want to eat something, have 8 to 16 ounces of water. Let it chill for about 3 or 4 minutes. If you're still hungry, then move to something very small portion. But 9 times out of 10, that water is going to G-check you and put you in order,
That water that water game has changed my life, seriously. Yeah. I was a Kool-Aid girl. Bad. I just had to drink everything, like Ocean Spray, everything with sugar in it. I haven't completely cut everything out. What I will say is I do drink, I try to drink freshly squeezed orange juice.
Okay.
And other than that, like water, sometimes I'll have every once in a while I'll have a ginger ale, I don't know. I just maybe haven't broke that habit, but that is as somebody that sings.
Okay.
My vocal coach was even just saying the water, and so I would carry this thing that has like thyme notches okay. on it, and that truly changes my life, but it's such a on and off thing. And I don't know what that is.
The on and off. Well, again, let's backtrack to nervous system. You have to, the things that are agitating your nervous system that have to,
yes,
reach,
God.
For
yeah.
have to reach for something to comfort. So yes. that's what goes back to our first thing about mental, making self-audit. Like what's happening with you? Sit with yourself and figure out, what are the things that have been bothering you, that have been maybe unaddressed, that you may need to sit with and confront. See, as we have this emotional and mental understanding of ourselves, right, we can better now nourish ourselves for this awareness, right? So once you find out, like, what are the triggers for you, you start to acknowledge that mentally, you've already started that pathway, then as a celebration of exploration and discovery, drink that water that moment, right? Mm-hmm. Just small steps. What I'm trying to tell you, family, is we have to start programming the wellness, right? So
yes.
if you do any yoga, yes. if you do any movement meditation, which I call exercise, think about a 24-hour clock of your day, regardless of your work, right? And how can you program self-care? How can you be accountable and aware of yourself enough to do the things throughout the day? If you have a successful day, make a note of that, right? The next day comes, maybe a little more challenging. Figure out, make a self-audit. What were some of the things that came up that blocked me from doing what I needed to do? Right. Third day comes. And once you did that assessment, okay, I'm back on my discipline. I'm back on my regimen. So you have to kind of map out when you're up and when you're down. Right. And when you're down, you figure out, why was I down? Right. And then you make it up by doing something positive, body, mind, and spirit, nutrition wise, to celebrate that awareness. And before you know, if you do that within 7, 14, and 21 days, you're pre-programming your consciousness and your body mm-hmm. to a new way of being. And that's why you want to be consistent and give yourself grace and space if you fall off, if you kind of go back, because that's the human journey. We up and down, we in and out. But what you, if you're conscious of this,
the practice, yeah,
right, and understand this is a holistic way of looking at yourself. Mm-hmm. This care and accountability will keep you in a pathway of moving forward, and that's why, you know, in my book, The Holistic Remedy, I start with the mind. The first chapter is focusing about really addressing where we at in our current state. Are we happy with ourselves? Mm-hmm. If we're not, why? Right? Asking that why question. And then what do we think we need to do to move towards the happiness, you know? And then you use the foods and the nourishment as a way to support that goal, right? And when you look at food, you have to look at food as fuel to your goals.
Absolutely.
So you take something, you say, okay, I like this, but is this going to help to keep me in a fortified state to be what I need to be, like when I do my singing, when I do my performing, right? So then you say, okay, well, this is an alternative for that. I get what I like, but this is better fuel for what, because you're a performer. Now I'm more ready and energized and nourished to be at the best performance level, right? So when you look at everything you do from that perspective, how you talk, self-talk, relationships, it's all food. What you put inside you, sustainability is food. How you have your time to calm your nervous system, the meditations, these is food and fuel. And you just make a healthy assessment. What have I been fueling myself with?
Amen. Yeah.
that served me. And then you map it out. You just be honest with yourself. And no judgment. You just do okay. And you start to say, okay, what could I find better? It's about being better, right? About being better. So what?
No, listen. You're speaking. You're so speaking the language, because I speak from, you know, I practice Buddhism, and my podcast comes from like a Buddhist context, and so we have this concept called the 10 worlds, where your life condition is vibrating either on the lowest of levels, which is the level of hell, where everything around you is suffering, even if it's somebody gives you a gift, it still gives more, you know, suffering or what have you. From hell to hunger, anger, animality, you know, all the way up into these higher levels. And so we have that system. Then there's, you know, Dr. David R. Hawkins, who, you know, talks about like power versus force, and, you know, talks about how, you know, if you're having feelings of guilt and shame or those type of things, those are things that chip away at that, you know, sort of being able to check in at where you're vibrating high or low, or where your life condition is. And so I'm hearing you as food, right? And everything else as well. But obviously food is a very, probably something that I think that's easy to not take responsibility for, you know, but that has a really big impact on the way
Well,
go about
family,
your day.
We're here one life, and it's about life extensions. We all got to leave out of this body, right?
Yeah.
The key is, do we want to have a longer life, healthy and mobile and cognitive, right? If we want that, there are things that we have to begin to exercise and discipline ourselves with to reach that. We have many of our brothers and sisters around the planet, especially here in the States, that are dealing with diabetes, type 2 diabetes, affecting young people now. You know, 20, 30 years ago, that wasn't even to be said. America's leading the charge of obesity globally, right? So, you know, when you look at the human family, you know, what I think about is, you know, what got us to that state? There's a lot of things that have been unprocessed and low vibrational that got us to the state where we don't value ourselves to nourish ourselves in a way to be longevative, right?
So now, well, that's a point right there.
And food is, like I said earlier, it's fuel. It's a vibrational fuel. So it's either going to, whatever you put inside your mouth to this body, it's either going to help you productively or unproductively. That's it.
You know,
how sweet, sour, or salty it is, you want to think about, is this going to help me be productive in this human experience and this expression? Can I extend this? Or am I going to help to aid cutting this experience shorter because of health normality? Because I like this or I like that, you know? And so
you want to cling to it, yeah.
It's just an opportunity for us to value ourselves again. And it says some people don't value themselves and say, okay, do I value myself? Do I really respect me? You know, do I like, why I want people to respect, like I want others to respect me?
I think people are afraid of the answer to that question, though.
Well, beloved, it's not really a good or bad. It's like just being honest with yourself so you can.
Because it sounds bad. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, it is.
But I think that's the thing that people are rejecting is what I'm saying is that to truly be able to answer the question, do I value myself, my relationship choices, my job choices of what I'm doing day to day? They're paying me to come here and I'm letting them pay me this amount of money when maybe I'm worth even more or have more skill or what have you. So I think that on so many levels, I think I'm witnessing folks portray on Instagram, social media, and everything else that they have a valuable life. And that they some notion of value is around them. But the real answer to that question, I think, is in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding and how we're showing up.
And the first value is it within, right? And so ultimately what my direction with health and wellness is to bring the men, women, and family back into themselves, right?
Yeah.
Back into your home of you. This is the home.
Yeah.
You know, and once we can figure out what works and what doesn't work and have the courage to remove things and have the courage to step up, we deserve that opportunity. That's what I feel. So
that's amazing.
This is why I just try to encourage people where they may be. Everybody's not on the level that I am, but because I was blessed to, at a young age, to have these tenets and these principles, that's why I share universally. I just try to meet people where they are in their health and wellness. They may not be plant-based vegans. They may be in transition or flexitarian like yourself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I say, even to brothers and sisters that are in transition or kind of flexible, not necessarily plant-based yet, I try to allow them to think about the same things we're talking about, you know, assessing the mind and the emotion and what are the triggers? What do you usually eat, you know, when you have triggers and the anxiety and the stress, right? And then helping them design a program where they are right now. They may not be Supernova's vegan program, right? To begin to start to shift and change and get better quality, right? Where they are.
Well,
and
you
once
know,
they
it's...
get the confidence and they can design something for themselves and they try it and they do it and they see the results, then they can put themselves on a regimen to step up, clear out, and transform.
But, you know, I think that I've gotten to a place in my life as a Black trans person to come to my life where I'm now 43 years old. And when I was coming up in my, like, 19, and, you know, it was very short-term thinking because the reflection the world was giving me was that I really don't have much time. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this stat that was always being said that, you know, the life expectancy of a Black trans woman is 34, you know, or what have you. And, you know, just with the statistics of violence and so many different things, it was understandable for a group of people to have somewhat of short-term live for now sort of thinking.
Right.
And then, you know, I found this Buddhist practice. I've been practicing for about 14 years now, and it kind of has shifted a lot for me. It has shifted a lot, but it shifted so much that I was able to respond to the challenges of my path in such a way where my Buddhahood or Buddha nature or higher self was responding versus my ego or lower self or, you know, just person who was in a scarcity mode or all these different things. And so I started to experience a life that, like, very often I would get into these moments where I'm like, it's gotten so good that I want more. I want more days. I want more life. Mm. And so it's got me choosing differently, you know, and it's.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And it's something that, but it's a hope, you know, it's a thing, you know, that I know I have found, but still many, many, many people are looking for. And even as myself, like, thank goodness I found this sort of spiritual space where the world is burning. There is war, there is war, there is genocide, there's all these things going on. And I'm one of those people who feels like I have purpose in, you know, speaking to the things, whether it's on a political level or on a social level.
Right.
And then I have to take care of myself when I get back home.
Absolutely.
And what I realized for so long, I was taking care of so many other people. Mm. I was taking care of community. I was taking care of my responsibilities, sure, showing up. And I'm the type of person, Miss Ross, that does not follow through. You know, I always follow through it, no matter if it's difficult.
Right.
And I think just something just kind of snapped for me in the past couple months where, I think it was more so my body just telling me, actually, no, stop. Like, even when I wanted to work more, I wanted to do more things, but I started to feel the disrespect that I was doing to myself and my body, you know, with these choices. And so to want more life, to want to have more days to do certain things, you know, that's what's got me choosing a different diet. I'm looking at how to cook oyster mushrooms and make them taste like chicken, you know, I'm doing all the things.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge part, but I think it's also, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's also sort of this, addictive cycle. So it's almost like what comes first. Like, so say for instance, you know, you're making these different choices, but if those choices aren't food, then that is fueling you with the things that were making you make the different choices. So like, have you heard of a book called The Celestine Prophecy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have. So yeah. So this was the first time that I was like introduced to this whole concept of, and tell me how deep does it go for you as it does in the book? Because in the book, it was like, it's very like woo, 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 where, you know, just saying even from the soil to everything that goes into even caring for the plant, they would even say like how they were talking to the plants and the sun, like they were just, you know, and that it, a certain energy going into the food was what goes into your body.
Absolutely.
How deep does that go? Like,
I mean, again, let's look at sugar. Sugar, processed white sugar, is one molecule away from the chemical structure of crack cocaine. All right.
Wait.
Processed white sugar is biochemically one molecule away from the chemical composition of crack cocaine. So it has the same effect inside of the body, except its effect is specifically, it cuts off the oxygen flow from the blood to the brain. This is why you get hyped and excited, and then you've had this drop, okay? Because it's the body fighting for oxygen to come back in. So essentially, the processed white sugar is robbing the body of proper nutrition, oxygen, mm-hmm. and it goes into the bloodstream and it goes into the bones and it starts to deteriorate the bones in your mouth and the bones in your body. And then it's absorbing all of the water out mm-hmm. of the different organs. So that doesn't seem like anything that's going to help to give you a productivity and longevity, right? The opposite of that, right, would be chlorophyll or the plant, the micronutrient plants, okay? Chlorophyll plants, we're on the planet, the most abundant element besides water, the next one is chlorophyll. It's the greens. So the greens, the chlorophyll, does the opposite of what the processed white sugar does. It puts oxygen back into the bloodstream. And so the plants are sun-fed, and so you bring in, they talk about the celestial prophecy and energy, you bring in the sun food, and your body is going to bring that illuminance to your organs. It's going to bring that oxygen. It's going to help to strengthen your limbs. So those are two different, you know, chemicals, structure, elements. And you, if so, I would say if you're having a problem with the processed white sugar, well, you want to get the chlorophyll greens going on in your body because it's going to put that oxygen back in. You want to have more water, so you have more energy to process the greens, right?
Well, and speaking of greens, you're talking. So you said chlorophyll greens. So what is the difference between
all greens and chlorophyll? That's the pigment.
Okay.
The pigment is what is green. It's all chlorophyll.
But also, I heard you came up with something called super.
I'll get there. Let me just
okay. Yeah, okay.
I'll tag that for you. But I was just trying to give you based upon what you were saying about finding the alternative for the processed white sugar would be the sugar in its natural state, which would be the fructose in fruit, right? So if you like strawberry drink, well, maybe have some strawberries, right? That's, or make your own strawberry drink, right? Blueberries. Oh, I like blueberry. I like mango. I like, you know. And so you just try to find, like I was given an analogy, to find the healthy alternative to that, right? Mm-hmm. For those that want to help to restore their body for years of neglect, which is disease. It's just, you know, you neglect that area and then it becomes disease, right?
Absolutely.
So if you want to restore the order of the oxygen flow and you want to cut down the addiction to the sugar, now I bring in the Super Mega Greens is a product that I have, my company produces, Super Mega Foods. No soy, it's USDA organically certified. It's the alfalfa, the dandelion, the spirulina, the chlorella. It's a concentrated micronutrient chlorophyll blend that acts as amino acid. It's a natural protein. So if you're detoxing just on water, right, you add a scoop of that, and you can have that for 21 days. Your body will not feel like it's needing to eat itself because every day the micronutrients is putting that oxygen back into the body. So when you actually come off your fast, whether it be a 5-day or 21-day fast, You won't do what most people do, which they binge. They binge eat, even if they're plant-based. You know, they binge eat. And you don't want to do that to the fast because it means all the work you just did will start to come back. So having something like the mega greens, you get to slowly come back into eating more cooked foods or whole foods. Mm-hmm. And your body will give you that gravitational period because you won't feel like you have to eat. You won't feel like you're hungry. Right?
I get that.
So that's a healthy alternative to include in the regimen for brothers and sisters that are trying to detox.
Where can we get that? Where can I get that?
Supermegafoods.com. S-U-P-A, mega, M-G-A, foods.com. And those that support Miss Ross, y'all can get 20% off. Just put 20%. Just when you check out, just put super20, S-U-P-A, 20 in the checkout, and you can get your mega greens as a discount.
I'm putting it in an order. I'm going to try. Listen, because I really am trying. I really am, because there's just so many. I'm so blessed already with, because I have been making some better choices. It's not like I'm not making.
And that's what you, and I want you to hold grace for yourself for that. That's very important, because it's better than making no choice, right? So some is better than none. So you have, you know, we have to celebrate the small wins, especially when it comes to our nutrition and valuing ourselves and caring for ourselves, because
that's so true.
You said earlier, you know, we get so caught up in life in the service of others, we get to serve ourselves in a healthy way, you know, and nothing works unless you work. So we got to get to work, you know, and
absolutely.
I think to be a greater service man and woman and a person, we have to make sure that we are an example for ourselves. And those small steps, Salute to those small steps.
What do you have to say about, you know, there's something that has just that I've been, you know, thinking about in the sense that, you know, we have the pharmaceutical industry. And then, you know, as a Buddhist, I also believe that, you know, with enough intention, wisdom, wise choices, you know, certain things, whatever, that when we know our bodies, you know, we can learn to make the right decisions for our bodies. And I feel like, you know, even the things that your mother has taught and you know, has really been sort of a pioneer with, I feel like those messages and those things go into, are contradictory to sort of a a force in our country that's like kind of pain management, and medication, you know, things like that. Where do you sit sort of in the, you know, in the conversation of like, I guess the relationship of sort of drugs, pharmaceutical drugs versus like, you know, what do you, what would you, yes, natural health. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, holistic medicine and allopathic medicine have to coexist. You know, yes. I don't think it's one or the other. I think right. because there's so many people that are sick.
Right.
And that have their body has built a reliance and a tolerance to the allopathic. However, if they start to have conversations like we're having and challenge themselves, and you know, there are a lot of doctors now that work with them holistically, even though they're on allopathic medicines. So if someone is going to their doctor for, you know, diabetes or some heart issues, you know, the doctor's going to tell you, hey, you know, you're taking this, right? But there's things you can do movement wise, nutrition wise to correct mm-hmm. as you mm-hmm. take this. Mm-hmm. So if the person is very excited about their health and wellness and looks at it as a sign, you know, a sign of the times, and they're on their medication, they still can take the independent step to begin to incorporate healthier choices, you know, and really make a shift. And then their doctor, 3 months, 6 months observing them, will start to say, because I've seen it, doctors would tell them, take the dosages down a lot of times when the men and women are improving on their health and wellness. They just say, oh, we're going to take this prescription down because your heart is improving. You know what I'm saying? And your lung capacity is improving. So I want to encourage those that are in the system already and working with the system in that way. This is an opportunity to really expand yourself and do your research, understand, you know, the foods and the medicines that help heart, help the bones, you know, help the reproductive organs, help the brain, and really understand how you can begin to incorporate that into your lifestyle and what movements you can be doing, martial arts, dance, yoga, you know, just and really getting a mind-body approach, you know, checking your nervous system, checking your thoughts. Have you forgiven today? Have you forgiven? Mm. Are you still holding on to past relationships that didn't work out for 20, 30 years ago that's affecting your health? Like, so when you look, when you just do a whole audit of yourself and see where you are at right now, see where you want to be, like we start the conversation, mm-hmm. create a regimen that you can be accountable to, and start to take those small steps to transform. And eventually, the things that you are relying on, like the medication and other things that are maybe a hindrance, if you take the steps, eventually your small steps will become whole steps and you'll be able to transcend.
Ooh. I'm like picking up everything that you are like really, really dropping down. Cause I think that, wow, that's just, it is a choice, and it is like something that I think, like you said, it takes grace. I think that we've been so used to some of the things that we've been used to. You know, so I'm like kind of also just taking in a lot of what you're saying. I'm definitely going to be.
Let's say this affirmation with me for the family watching us. Let's put your hand to your heart. Ready?
Okay.
Nothing works unless I work.
Nothing works unless I work.
I deserve the highest and wisest of myself.
I deserve the highest and wisest of myself.
I will be patient with myself.
I will be patient with myself.
I will care for myself.
I will care for myself.
I will no longer be careless of myself.
I will no longer be careless of myself.
I will strengthen myself.
I will strengthen myself.
Small steps to whole steps.
Small steps to whole steps.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Body, mind, and spirit.
And that's the frequency I want to leave with the family and you and everybody that are watching, that you all of us, we are the miracle that made it to planet Earth. Regardless of our situation, regardless of who we came from, and regardless of where we at, we are the living miracles. So
I don't know why you got me teary eyed over here. I'm like, why am I about to cry?
Yeah, let's protect ourselves, respect ourselves, so we can, like you said earlier, vibrate higher to have better productive relationships, interactions. Mm-hmm. We deserve the best fuel and food choices and nourishment. And it's not about where you came from and where you was yesterday. Today, you are valuable, brother and sister. Even if you're on E, you got something. You're on E. I'm on empty. Well, you got empty,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
You can always go from empty to full. You deserve it. But we must open the way. The way has been arranged, you know. There are many beautiful souls that have come before us that have opened the way for us to be here, and we're in gratitude. And how we show our gratitude? By living the most gracious, fullest life we can be, and to protect our emotional health, our vibrational health, our body, mind, and spirit, and do what we can do to fortify ourselves. It's a fight. I call myself a wellness warrior because every day I'm fighting for the best quality of my life. And I want to inspire all of you out there to figure out who you are, what is your audit, what is your value. If you don't have any value and you dream and you visualize the value, what does that look like for you? What steps could you take to get to your vision? Even if it is not a 10-year, 20-year vision, start now just by acknowledging yourself and creating and systemizing yourself. Like, how many times we systemize and prioritize our time for everybody else? We make it. Let's do the same, keep the same energy that we do for everybody else. Do it for you and watch but how your you life expands.
I can see as you speak, I can see like you illuminating and, you know, this being like not just something that you do, that it feels like you're very passionate about it. It feels like there's purpose in it with it for you. You know, talk to me about how this has, not just for yourself, you know, because obviously you've been able to benefit from such a great lifestyle. Talk to me about the work that you do and how this has, I guess how, because the work isn't always easy, you know, when you're working with folks or when you're doing any type of work, what have you. So what inspires you to do this work, and what keeps calling you to enjoy this type of work?
Well, I mean, my mother laid out the blueprint for me since I was young, and I saw how she was of service to helping people transform their lives, to being a support. And so in my way, and how I show up, I do that by serving, you know, the community. And one of my passions is led by my recent project that I put out with my mother called Man, Heal Thyself, The Wellness Warrior's Journey to Self-Mastery, which is my current book. And I started a holistic rites of passage program for men of 18 and older.
And why would you do that?
Because men don't feel valuable. Men don't feel valuable, and their lack of value, their lack of feeling valuable and worthy creates chaos on the planet. The planet is in chaos because we're being led by wounded men. Ooh. So when we can get the men to be accountable and not be beta blamers, but be accountable to himself and bring order and harmony to himself and face his little wounded boy from 5 years old and 10 years old and 20 years old and hug that little boy in his heart and tell that little boy that he will avenge him through living a positive, productive, healing life, then the planet would shift. The women have already been laying the way, and the women have already been creating some form of accountability when it comes to self-care.
Yes, but
we have to, we cannot exalt the divine feminine and have the divine masculine wounded and left in the wilderness. So this is why I do the work that I do, to help encourage men of all races, creeds, wherever they come from, lifestyles, begin to go, go within, encourage the men to go within. And in going within and setting up a holistic wellness paradigm and daily rituals and rites for himself and having his brothers and other men accountable, the transformation can be in place. And now we can show up better as men in our relationships with others and our service to ourselves and how we serve the world. And so instead of complaining about it and being online, being a chatty patty, what men ain't doing right, I say, you know what, let me support the men in their healing and their wellness. And my vision is to one day have millions of men saying, I'm a wellness warrior and I'm fighting for the better quality of my life. And because of that, I have compassion for all humans. I have compassion for everybody's lifestyle or whoever is showing up because I did it for me. I can't stand for all of these brothers and sisters in these different communities if I'm not standing for myself.
Absolutely.
And once we get men to care for themselves again and to take time, that is, he's valuable enough to take time for himself, that it's not non-masculine if he cares for himself, if he taps into the divine feminine in him, which is his mother, his grandmother, right, to allow him to move through that healing, then he's a whole man. you know? But we have to help inspire him back into wholeness. And that's what my book, Man, Heal Thyself, is about.
You know, I listen, I love that. And I hope somebody sends a copy to Russell Simmons, to Diddy, to...
Oh, yeah, I would, yeah, yeah.
Listen. And the reason why I say that is because it irks me to see Russell spiritually bypass his abuse, that, and not be accountable to it. And, you know, I just, some of the things that I'm learning, because even in, there's so much I've learned. Wow. You know, and just with so many women as well, where to love ourselves, sometimes we had to create these boundaries and barriers, even if that meant being alone, to not be take on these wounded men when we are doing all this work to heal and to heal each other and to do all of those things.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, I think about the prison, you know, industrial complex. And I think about, you know, just how we've legalized against slavery and how so many times folks volunteer themselves many times, you know, to be roped up into these systems. Instead of them being in prison, like, cause here, listen, we got to heal as a community. We got to heal. And so I have been trying to radically push myself into understanding what y'all talking about. Abolition. Okay. So the first thing is imagining a place where we don't need these police, and just also understanding things like restorative justice. Because my thing is, if these men would heal, and then become champions.
Absolutely.
Like champions of good behavior, champions of, you know, these things, then we can be honest.
Yes.
About where we've been and what we've done and who we've transgressed and what have you, when we are willing to also be accountable to those things. But I think that we are being gaslit, and we are allowing so many people in pop culture to gaslight folks with the words cancel culture, knowing that especially Black women and a lot of folks have just been looking for some bit of accountability.
Right.
It sounds like your book, and you know,
not to cut your wisdom,
no,
just
please.
To add on, everything you said is right and exact, and this is why I do the work that I do. I'm about, come on, brothers, let's go within. You know, let's go within. It's just so noisy right now.
Yes.
And it's become, a lot of men have become so bitter online where they just attack women every time they get a chance to and talk down. And what he's not taught is that the more he's externally causing that pain and that discomfort and that discord, it's decaying him. It's never addressing the fact that he's in himself wounded.
Yeah.
So we can get a nice, we need a masculine huddle to be accountable. It's about.
Do you have a podcast too, or something?
I have a brand. I'm out here.
The only reason I say that is because the guys have gotten together.
Right.
There's a lot of men online who have gotten together, and
they
the
have,
stuff
know,
that they are
know,
talking
family,
about.
But you know what, family? A lot of the men get together on economics. They get together.
Yeah.
Talking about women. They get together.
Yeah.
Talking
yeah.
about how to show up, look good. Right. A lot of tenets that are not negative, but they just simply external.
Yes.
That we're not addressing.
Yes, we're not going within.
Why we become the boogeyman, why we become the monster, why we become these personalities that harm others. And we as men have the ability to correct that. We have to get men excited to be courageous to face himself. A lot of our men globally, of all races, all backgrounds, all ethnicities, we have gotten to this thing where everything's external. But internally, we're decaying. You know, there are men that are with their women for, you know, committed 10, 15, 20 years, and their women don't even know them emotionally. They don't understand. They don't have never met them, right? They're just going along and getting along. And so that's not creating healthy, holistic relationships. That's not creating harmony. So this is why the call that I'm raising, and salute to all the other men out there doing their podcast.
Absolutely.
And their
group, yes.
But I'm
yes.
saying, in addition to those fellowships, we need to have self-care and accountability as the forefront right now, because you look around from the, like you mentioned, our brothers Russell and Diddy, to even more wealthy men, resources will not negate you from dealing with the issue. And so men, we've been predicated on the more I get, the more I accumulate, that's manhood. Meanwhile, we're decaying inside, we're dying inside. And you say, well, this person has all this land and money and all this billions and trillions. How come they suffering? Because his accumulation has nothing to do with his reflection of himself, right? Mm-hmm. He got all of this. He was dominant. He got all this, got all of that, but he still neglected himself. And this is why the wound goes from the downtrodden to the ones that are opulent.
Absolutely.
Right? That's why I say, man, heal thyself.
Yeah.
Stop blaming the feminine.
Well, especially because they can't lead. This is what I found, because what is so egregious to me is how, as a Black community as well, we look to fame and financial success to somehow be an indicator of leadership and moral whatever, yeah. You know, is having this moral code. And so why are we accepting the White House inviting Ice Cube to speak on anything about the community when we haven't had the accountability on the abuse that was straight out of Compton, or you know what I'm saying? Like a Dr. Dre, you know, and all the things, I'm mixing my rappers up a little bit, but I'm just saying,
it's real.
Are keep calling on as a community. It's like straight at all costs. I'm saying this from a queer trans perspective, watching so much oppression happen from our communities on LGBTQ identities, but then to push this cis heteronormative narrative at all costs when the patriarchy is suffocating and actually preventing progress because of a toxic relationship with the partner, the feminine.
Right. Basically, nobody's in a position to point fingers at nobody. We got to do the healing work. That's why I said, man, heal thyself. Because, you know, we need healing amongst the, you know, the heteronorm family, amongst the queer family.
Yes.
We cannot negate the fact that we have to all face the accountability of ourselves to fully understand who we are, why we're here, and how to really... really, really maximize our limited time and space in this experience. The healing is the way. And now, again, a lot of the powerful men are not necessarily speaking from what I'm speaking. This is why I'm just bringing my support to them. I'm not negating nothing they're doing. I'm saying, in addition to, if you're really trying to manifest that and to actualize that, how much greater would it be if you went within and then you continue to move without? Right. I'm not saying you should be for your money, or I'm not saying Ice Cube should not meet with the president. I'm saying that's all well and good. But Ice Cube, the president, whoever, we if we can really, in addition to those meetings, have the meeting with the other mind and your own mind, the meeting of your soul, meeting of your spirit, fellowship with your ancestors, get into your discipline, get into your Buddhism, get into your Judaism, get into whatever discipline you're from, right? Your Christianity or non. Uh-huh. Get into that discipline and meet yourself. And then upon meeting yourself, creating a pathway to the authentic version of that self, the greater version of you, and then move and then continue your work externally from that place. That's what I'm saying.
That's all. Oh, okay. Yes. That was definitely, wow, a whole word. I can't wait to go back and listen to this myself and kind of like really take note. I really enjoyed this conversation. Where can we continue to follow and learn from you?
Supernovaslam.com, SUPANOVASLOM, supernovaslam.com. My books, you can get my links to my book on my website, or you can just go to Amazon directly. The Holistic Remedy is available on Amazon, and Man Heal Thyself, The Wellness Warrior's Journey to Self-Mastery.
Heal Thyself.
You can also find the link to my wellness supplements that we talked about, the greens, the mega greens.
Yes.
Find that through the supernovaslam.com that will take you to supermegafoods.com. So, and I'm across all social media handles, Instagram, you know, Twitter, YouTube, all of it. And I appreciate you, Ms. Ross.
You got a new mega fan because I felt the vibrational frequency just of everything that you were saying. I heard the truth in everything that you were saying. It was just ringing across so clearly. Thank you for doing the work that you do.
Thank you.
Wow. I don't even like, I haven't even been this kind of like, I don't even know how to end this. It's like so great. Okay. So, cause I'm trying to stop myself, but I'm also thinking at the same time. So thank you so much, Supernova Slam. We will be right back. All right. Thank you again, Supernova Slam, for reminding me to give myself grace and encouraging me to take charge of my physical health. Y'all, I really am trying to do better and be a better friend to my body. Now, before we go, let me drop another Buddhist breadcrumb and talk about the 10 worlds and the world of heaven. A question I've heard a few times is, do Buddhists believe in heaven and hell? Well, not only do we believe that heaven and hell exist, but also that they exist right here, right now. Rafa is experiencing absolute hell right now, with the flames burning their children alive. In Buddhism, the concept of the mutual possessions of the 10 worlds tells us that within each of the 10 worlds exists the other 9 simultaneously, and that there's always a portal into those other worlds if we can see it. Still, heaven actually is a part of the 6 lower worlds, because any joy and fulfillment that's gained in this state are fleeting and dependent on circumstances. Quote, all phenomena are constantly changing. So if we become attached to temporary phenomena such as wealth, status, physical beauty, or ability, as soon as those conditions change, any sense of pleasure can turn into suffering. In this month's Living Buddhism, we discuss how the world of heaven is not, quote, inherently good or bad. Working towards things like financial stability, good health, and success is natural, but the truth is nothing lasts forever. We can liken the joys of heaven to a flower that may fade and wilt among the sufferings integral to life, birth, aging, sickness, and death. Rather than seek pleasure or look to our circumstances for satisfaction, we can realize that genuine happiness by forging a robust and resilient self, end quote. Daisaku Ikeda affirms, quote, the joy of heaven is ephemeral, like a mirage or a dream. A life spent in pursuit of a mirage is itself a mirage. So, this week, I want you to find an opportunity to see that heaven is right here on earth. Learn to enjoy what there is to enjoy and not allow that joy to be compromised by changing circumstances. No opportunity wasted. I'm yours.